Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we do a wrap up in the Thanksgiving department. Share some heartwarming stories about the family. Mr. Skin calls in. First, LifeLock online holiday shopping safety tips. Confirm there's an HTTPS lock symbol in the URL of any website you're shopping on. Search for deals with trusted vendors and retail sites as well. Always use unique passwords and login information. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft is another serious issue. These folks are out there. They're trying to get your information. They're going to ruin your credit, and they're going to ruin more than your day, because once that credit gets screwed up, it is hard to unring that bell. You need protection. You need LifeLock. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. So, and you can, by the way, miss identity threats if you're just monitoring your credit. Let's get some LifeLock. They detect a wide range of identity threats. So take care of yourself this year. Let's get LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Until December 8th, join and get a special discount. Save 30% or more off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 30% off or more. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Mr. Skin. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, his rants are heated, and his leftovers were reheated. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Your mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend as we round the corner and head into 2020, 12th year of podcasting, or 11th year. I'm never sure how that works. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
All I know is what I don't know, and that ain't much.
I want to talk back first day since the Thanksgiving break, so we can talk about how that went. I have philosophical thoughts as well. I think my mom may have hit an all-time low.
Oh, no.
All right.
In the put-down conversation department. Well, you know, I'm always kind of examining this notion of my mom's mom, as we know, the grandma was mean, and she was very much into the put down department. She just liked to put people down.
She soared in that environment.
She soared and
thrived too well.
Yeah, and wasn't always, you know, out of left field. Like, I couldn't read or write very well, and my grandma would kind of tell me, like, but you don't read or write. Like, how do you write a book, or how do you, you can't read or write? And I was like, I agree. It hurts a little more because I agree. But she just put everyone down around them. Also, I don't know if your grandma did this. My grandmother had a way. It was two approaches to putting you down. There was just the straight ahead, not laugh at your joke. And then later on, she'd find a picture that she got from the New Yorker, like a little drawing cartoon, and it'd be a cat laying on a therapist's sofa, and just a thought bubble of yarn over it. And she'd show it to him, and she'd go, "It's so clever.
That's comedy.
It's so clever." And I'd go, "You didn't crack a smile when I did my 10 minutes, bitch." She's like, "But look at the cat." And
you just didn't have cats.
And I would, like, I couldn't think of myself, like, I think I could do that. I wouldn't do that because it's not that funny, but you keep showing me all these super clever things or what this friend of yours is up to friend's up to, but then nothing. So it's a kind of a two-way street of pain, which is, oh, you do praise other forms of art and other artists and other people in your world, just never when they're in the room? Or how does that work? Did your grandma do that?
No, my grandma stopped short, but she did have the strong, long before I was around, and my dad, he would tell tale. My dad was the youngest of four, and he and his older siblings would watch The Three Stooges, which was very popular in the late 1960s or whatever that was. And my grandma would come in the room, see what they're watching, so stupid. Just leave.
Like, she's not wrong.
She had to get, it was stupid, but she had to get her jabs in, you know what I mean?
Right. And when you are saying what is entertaining the 10-year-old boys or anybody is stupid. You're de facto calling them stupid. Yeah. That's how it works.
If you like this, you're a dumb.
So my mom, I think, indeed. So my mom sadly got a bunch of that stuff, but my grandmother was at least sort of wailing flowers and madam about it. She was like, madam, the puppet, like, do you guys remember?
Who?
God. Waylon Flowers, I think his name was like a bawdy ventriloquist. He was probably gay, and he had this puppet, which was like this older, bawdy woman. It was kind of like in Playboy. They had the Playboy cartoons, and one of them was like the horny grandma.
The bawdy grandma.
Sort of based on the horny grandma, and that was basically Helen Gorog. Like, she was kind of bawdy, and so she'd put you down, but at least she had a little flair and panache about it. My mom is a super bummer, low-key. She still has the put-downs, but none of the flair.
Yeah, none of the flair.
She knows the words, but not the music.
Right.
Flourish.
Right, so she was just sitting. We're sitting eating turkey at my sister's house, and she does. You know, she says, "Oh, what are you up to?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just making a bunch of documentaries, mostly car documentaries." And she goes, "Well, you should tell me when you make one on a subject that I'm interested in."
Oh my God!
I'll be sure to let you know.
I'll let you know. When we talk about, when I march in, the day I march into Nate's office and go, look, forget Willie T. Ribs and forget the K-Rock doc. Scones and Dorothy Gravitch, our old neighbor. Now, we got to keep it to under 3 hours.
Muffins, part two.
Yeah. To be fair, she also seems interested in child neglect.
So, oh yeah, maybe we can do a latchkey story or something like that. So the notion that she would, well, first things first, and this is why this always strikes a chord with me. It's like, I'm not a car person. Hey, don't be an anything person. Docs are as good as the docs are. What story are we in? First off, what sitcom's the best sitcom? Like All in the Family. Or what was it about? It was about nothing. It was good. It was well executed. It was all about the execution. The ones with the tons of story and tons of premise. They don't, you know, they got
Seinfeld, a show about nothing.
Right, right. The ones where they have to pretend to be women to join the sorority. Like, those never work because it's all in that part, and none of it's in the storytelling. You know what I mean? So docs are all about the execution of the doc, and the range is a cornucopia, and that's the way we like it. We want to learn about everything in life. Now, you can make a bad doc about a subject you love.
Right.
And you can make a great doc about a subject you know nothing of. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be any subjects you dislike. There should be subjects you like and then subjects you know nothing of that you'll learn more about through the doc. But the notion that I'm pitching this to my mom
selling not going to green light.
I got one for you, lady.
It's a very lives a sedentary life and has nothing but time for docs that I should make one that she wants to see on a subject because she somehow my parents with cars remind me. There's an episode of Speed Racer, Maxipat. I don't know if you can find it online, but there's a guy.
Starting up strong.
His daughter was like, his wife was like killed by a car. So he rode a horse everywhere.
Because he hated cars so much. Yes,
he hated Speed Racer because I think his daughter fell in love with Speed Racer and like wanted to run in the Mach 5. And he rode this horse like, you can't get into that car. Every time I see that guy, I think of my parents. Like, it's one thing not to be an expert at cars or be a wrencher or know how to drive a stick shift. It's another thing to be angry at.
To have a blood vendetta
I'm mad
cars.
At transportation. And I'm not going to take it anymore. Like, you know I hate cars. Like, okay, you don't have to hate cars.
How should the rest of the world adjust?
I know. By the way, how'd you get here tonight, bitch? Were you carried or did you go in the fucking Volvo wagon?
Dare I say it's better sometimes if you don't know this about the subject of a good documentary because you're going to learn a lot that you didn't know. Or maybe, God forbid, get interested in something you had no interest in.
Right.
No interest in.
No. So anyway, I had that conversation about making a doc that she could enjoy.
What was your response? Silence? Confused? Silence?
I always just go, yeah, all right, I'll get on that. And then I just get up and go get some more stuffing and go sit somewhere else.
That's for the best. But, is your dad with you on, Are both your parents together on Thanksgiving?
Yeah. They're able to, they're comically or bizarrely at the end of their life, they find themselves sitting next to each other talking when they refuse to talk. By the way, now they don't give a shit that they talk. Mm. Now they're talking. My entire childhood, they wouldn't speak to each other. Yeah. And it was all weird with the dropping of the kids and picking them up and like, knock on the door. You know, pre-cell phone and pre-text. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of legwork, man. Yeah. We'd use carrier pigeons and people have to like, is your mom home? I don't know. Like, go knock on the door. I'll wait in the car. Like, I'm not knocking on the door.
Messengers.
You were like the go-between for Paul Sorvino and Goodfellas. He had to come back to his door. He'd never talk on the phone.
Right, right. So that was interesting. I don't know, just a quick observation. The meal was fantastic. I always look forward to the stuffing the most. And the reason I look forward to the stuffing the most is because throughout the course of the year, I will have some mashed potatoes. I will have some turkey or some roast beef or whatever, Brussels sprouts or whatever, but I don't have stuffing at all.
No, there's no reason.
It's never on a menu.
You guys tell me what you think. If you ain't making stuffing that's in the bird, drop the skillet and keep walking. Like, I want the stuffing in the bird. I want the juicy, moist. I want the moist, sticky stuffing. I want to be able to take it out, make a ball of stuffing, and throw it and have it hold together. I don't like the bready, dry-y, baked separately. I want the suck every ounce of juice, every piece of moisture that came off of that bird for the five hours it was in the oven is now in that bread.
That's kind of old school because they say that you're not really supposed to do that. So I have never done it.
You get like gangrene or
something. Yeah, but you're fine, right? No ptomaine poisoning for you?
My mom's been doing it my entire life.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
It's the best in the world.
It's all gooey and stuff. I don't like dry. No, my sister did it out of the bird and baked it in the oven and did it with the sort of bigger pieces of dried bread. And it didn't have the goo.
No.
The best part about the stuffing is the goo factor. It's the bread pudding. It's the savory bread pudding. I like it in. You don't like it in the bird?
There's literally room on my plate for both because there is both at every Thanksgiving. There's the inside the bird goo, which is good and nostalgic and wonderful. But my mom makes this outside the bird in a cast iron whatever with the sourdough bread from the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. Brings it down. And then the Italian sausage. Oh, come on.
Yeah. All right.
Come
as long as it's super moist, I'm down.
It's not just bread. Yeah, it's got the Italian sausage in it.
All right. Mike August gets the... we all hate Mike, but we all love Mike simultaneously because he's a fucking Iron Man. Like, I shot a special Sunday night.
He's talking about you fuck ass.
In San Diego. And I was like, how are we working this, Mike? He's like, well, I'm going to be in the Bay Area. And I said, well, what are you going to do? And he's like, well, I'm going to leave the Bay Area at like 5 in the morning and I'm going to drive home. And this show, we had a matinee show, an early show, a 5:30 show, and an 8 o'clock show. And he goes, I'm just going to drive from the Bay Area at 5.
To San Diego?
No, I was going to drive like to my house or his house. And then we're going to get into my car. And then we're going to go drive to San Diego. And like, not a word out of his mouth the entire time. When we were done with the second show, I'd had a nice highball. So I threw the keys to Mike. I'm like, you drive. He's like, okay. Not a word.
Wow.
Not a word. Like, I got to get up at
4.
I already drove. I've been in the car for 7 hours. I mean, nothing. Could have scored some sympathy points, which I believe everyone is always trying to do, like rack up a little sympathy number. So the next time I want Thai food and you want Italian food,
you think twice.
We go to the Italian food because you've racked up a little. You've built up a little currency.
That's right.
And people are like always working that currency. You know,
I woke up in Phoenix this morning.
Can't stay awake during a movie.
Always an excuse.
But Mike just dutifully jumped behind the wheel and never said a word. I mean,
asleep.
I said to him, was traffic bad? Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. We left at 5 in the morning.
Wow.
And I was like, but he never said anything at the end of the night. Like, he wasn't like, it has been the longest day. Like, there was nothing. There's nothing. Just, we're done.
And he didn't volunteer it. You asked him about traffic.
Yeah. He didn't. No complaints. No nothing. His dad was a football coach. And so he's not a pussy. He's not a pussy, everybody. All you super weak dudes out there, you don't have to be weak.
Yeah.
Just fucking be be fucking mentally strong.
Had it been you making the 5 a.m. drive, how long would you have spent discussing the 5 a.m. drive?
More than the actual drive. I would make people wait in the car with me until I was done complaining about that 5 a.m. drive.
Walk them through it in real time.
I know. I couldn't believe it. And, I mean, it was a long week. So I went and did comedy at the Comedy Store on Saturday night, and then Lynch flew in. And
oh, I bet you never heard the end of that.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
And I met Lynch, and then Lynch and I had this, I had a lot of miscommunication over the weekend. I had a funny thing. Sonny wanted to come to the stand-up special in San Diego because he's just into it, and he likes being around. He's like one of those kids, I think. Some kids are like intimidated by adults or freaked out or whatever. He kind of likes it. He likes to see all the action. Nate's backstage. He's got his video village and he's setting up equipment and cameras and all that stuff. And Sonny's all into it. But Lynch didn't know. So the idea was it was the night before they went back to school after the break.
Okay.
And Lynch wasn't really up on the schedule. He knew we were doing two shows. So I knew we were doing a matinee show, a 5:30 show, an 8 o'clock show, and the Mason-Dixon line was like, I'll have him back by midnight. So because Lynette didn't want him, you know, he misses enough school. I like the experience part of life, but I get it. So we were like climbing into the car and like Lynette was like, you really need to go on a school night, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'll have him back. And I left the room and I was grabbing like my sunglasses or something, and I heard Lynette go, 2 a.m. And so she said to Mike, when are you guys going to be home? And Mike's like, 2 a.m. because we're doing an 8 o'clock, a 10 o'clock. We'll finish around midnight. Then it's a 2-hour drive. He put the second show behind the first show and not in front of it. So like Lynette was pulling Sonny out of the car when thankfully I turned the corner. It's like, no, we're not coming home at 2, and we're coming home at midnight. So Sonny came out and enjoyed that. It was kind of a fun night and a fun bar. It'd been a pretty busy week. And then Mike and I did this process. It's so awesome. You guys, everybody needs to find that person they can collaborate with, they have the shorthand with, or whatever. Mike was set up in my theater in his inflatable bed. It was a funny thing because Mike studied. We should bring Mike in here and get him on the mic. Mike studied.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
Studied Sonny and Natalia when they were little to try to, as part of his work and his clinical research and all that kind of stuff. And Mike and I were down. Now, Mike and I did this thing where I had about 3 inches thick of Buck's lips that I had procured over the entire year of jokes. And this is the set. And I'm going to write this joke and a rich man, poor man. And I just showed up. Hi, Mike. Hey. I just showed up down to the theater. Mike just sat on his computer. And I literally took every one of these Buck's lips, a year's worth of Buck's lips. And I just started reading them off and flipping them over and crossing them off and tossing them to the side and everything else. Mike brought something up with my low self-esteem, which is I was taking all my Buck slips that were full, and I'd throw them in I brought a garbage can down. Okay, that's going in the garbage can. If I got all the information off that's in the computer, it's going in the garbage can. And Mike paused, and he went, you should sell those, and you should put them. And my first impulse was, hey, Dodo, I already sell Buck's lips.
God, Dodo.
But I didn't say anything. I was like, why would Mike knows we sell Buck's lips? I was like trying to.
I've sold jet lag shows.
Right. I was like, why did he say we should sell Buck's lips? And then, because I never thought there's no value to the ones I've filled up. But then he said, you should put them in the Adam's Monthly Nut. They're all from the year. They all have like random set lists and weird jokes. And sometimes there's ones that say like, tell Olga to feed Phil. Like there's some random stuff like in there.
to do milk, eggs.
Right. So He studied Sonny and Natalia when they were, I don't know, two? How old were they?
Yeah, I think they were two.
So we're sitting down there, and it's Sunday, and we're like making our way through the hit list. Mm-hmm. And at some point, Sonny just comes walking in, and he's like, oh, sorry, I didn't know you guys were in here. And we're like, yeah, what do you need? And he's like, oh, I was going to watch a movie, but... you guys are in here. And like, yeah, we're working in here. And he goes, okay, I'll watch somewhere else. And he just turns around and he walks out. And I go, that's Sonny. That's how Sonny works.
Then
20 minutes later, Natalia comes down. She's like, oh, what are you guys doing in here? Like, we're working. Oh, I want to watch a movie.
And I'm like, clear out.
No, we're going to be down and working. How long? Like, a while longer. Okay. I'll be back. And then she like goes upstairs. And then like 15 minutes later, are you guys done down there? I go, no, we need a little more time. I'll tell you when we're done. How much time? Oh, like when we're done. How tell me? And I said, okay, there's your two kids. Those are your two kids. I didn't do anything to them and neither did fucking society. That's who they are, right?
Yeah, and that's who they were the day I met them. I can dig that up. I have it on my computer out there, that observation I did when I was doing child development classes. We can read exactly what I saw in them, and that is still happening to this day.
Cool.
Yeah, when Natalia was a year and a half or 2 years, I'd go to kiss her and she'd headbutt me. Like she'd go talk to the forehead, and at night when I go to kiss her, she headbutts me, and Sonny just goes, like he just smooch you on the lips. She'll shoot you a headbutt. She also figured out this thing, like when she was two, when I would pick her up, she didn't want to be picked up by me, and she'd go, poo-poo, 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 and I'd go, oh, okay, oh, we got it. Someone's got to change her, and I'd hand her off to somebody, and she didn't know poo-poo. Not
crazy like a
she
fox.
Just wanted to be handed off.
Yeah.
To somebody with a bosom she could nestle. And I was like, wow, you figured that out at two and a half?
It's a safe word.
Yeah, poo-poo. Anyway, Mike is out here. We're working on a book together, working on the stand-up together. He's sleeping in the theater down there. Comfortable, yeah. Mike? Everything good? Great.
They're rarely heard from Mike Lynch. I feel like you're a mystery character.
You are.
To a lot
you're
of the
man
audience.
Behind the curtain.
What would you like the audience to know about you? Maybe that something that is assumed or gets discussed once in a while or whatever. Is there something you'd like to clear up or say? Oh.
I think the thing I want to clear up the most is that I'm not Mike August or Mike Dawson, because that's typically what I get at whenever I go to these live events and shows.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
He's coming on Take a Knee this week. Mike is. He's going to stick around and do that.
Yeah, I'm nervous, actually. I got to admit, because it's the first time I'm a guest as opposed to just a dude that's part of the show. Mm-hmm. I have something to plug. It's bizarre to me.
Well, let's talk about your journey a little bit. You moved back home, basically, to Lowell, Massachusetts. Right. You started working on your practice and getting your clinical hours and certifications and everything, and now... finally ready to strike out on your own?
A two-year process. It should have been a two-year process per the regulations. Turned out to be about six.
Didn't you get kind of screwed by the board?
I got very
like
screwed by the board. Okay. Yes. Yes.
What happened?
Did me downgrade it.
Are you sitting? Okay. You have to do 2 years full-time experience. I was in the process of doing that. Then I applied for the license. They said, well, your graduate work from California, this doesn't count, that doesn't count. Long story, very short, was semesters versus quarters.
Oy,
turned into,
there.
Essentially it came down to one credit. I ended up suing the board and losing, so another couple grand on top of that. Then going back to school, another $6,000 on top of that to do a bunch more credits. And then once I get through with that, they say, okay, good. Now you can start getting those hours. So basically everything I had been doing the entire time I thought was counting did not count. So I have now done more face-to-face therapy than a pilot needs to do in the cockpit to get a commercial aircraft
license. If you're in the Lowell area, and you don't even need therapy.
Just come in, drop a couple of bucks.
Were they alleging that people in California are a different kind of crazy than people back east? Because they're not.
It's the worst kind of bureaucracy. It's different. Every state is completely different. They don't communicate with each other. They don't decide, you know, there's reciprocity. It doesn't count. It was essentially
I'm dealing with permits and the city of Glendale, and the plans have to be submitted to the fire department. The first thing is nobody gives a fuck whether you ever get your license or ever make your structure. Nobody cares. That's like number one. nobody really gives a shit. Number two, there is no timeline. For you, there's a timeline. Yeah. You have a family, you have a career, you have a building, like you have a definite timeline.
Right.
Yours is a kind of a snare drum, and theirs is a slow drip on a faucet. And they're like, come back Friday and see if somebody's here. It's like, nobody's there. Okay. Well, then call on Monday and we'll call you back, but start then try again on Tuesday. They don't give a fuck because they don't care.
I wanted just the wall certificate, just the thing that says my license number 1768. You know, I wanted that wall certificate. You have to, you know, $30 or whatever. Please wait up to 3 months.
3 months?
Literally, it says it in it will take up to 3 months for us to print this thing for you.
Right. So
and so for, you know, all the kindness that's in their hearts, the Medicare for All idea, fuck that. Because if this is the system now? That I was fighting through, like,
you'd only
people
imagine.
Will be dying.
Yeah. Well, it's this weird helpless feeling because the government has dominion over you and they get to just say stuff, you know, like, we need a handicap ramp to the whatever. It's like, nobody's going up there. It's for storage. Well, do the ramp. They just do whatever. They can fucking say whatever they want. It's all super expensive. It's all super lengthy. You got to pull another permit, everything else. And they don't care. And my thing is, and they also, they get a little drunk with power. Like, they know it's 6 weeks. And you go, can we expedite that? And they go, no. And I keep talking. It'll be 8 weeks. Like, that's just the way it goes. It doesn't bring out the best in everyone to have absolute power and absolute. There's no competition. I have absolute power over you, and I'm on zero timeline, and I get paid the same whether you ever get your permit to hang on the wall or you ever get your building permit. It doesn't matter to me. I got 2 weeks off on Christmas. It never takes a turn for the happy. Like, it never.
There is no God. I am God.
There's never fucking conversation where they're like, hey, folks, we could do our job a little bit better. Like, I had conversations with people behind the counter building and safety. I went, do your job better. Be better at your job. Would you please? But it doesn't, because it's a system that just breeds lethargy. It's a fucking housing project. It's like, why isn't everyone to work? It's like, because we get a free fucking apartment. It's a shit box.
And in this particular scenario, there is no incentive, because the board, the board of behavioral whatever, is a volunteer position. They meet once a month voluntarily. Mm-hmm. So actually, this process, in addition to everything else, took an extra month because the two people who represent my type of license on the board, they just didn't feel like showing up in July.
Oh my God.
Okay, now listen.
So it waited till August.
I don't blame the super slow, lethargic, bloated fucking bureaucracy people, because that's what they do. And that's what I do too. If you shoved me into that environment, I'd be apathetic. I'd be a little angry. You know, when people come in, it's like, I got to get up and do work now. Like, you're angry at the people. It's like the fucking security at LAX. Like, oh boy, now I have to do my job because this person's going to Phoenix. You know, I don't blame them, because that's what it creates and that's who it attracts. Right. Who are all the fucking people voting for more of this? I need more. Who are you, young 19-year-old? Yeah. You're creating a fucking hellhole for yourself. It's going to be a bureaucratic hellhole. Like, hey, we're going to have free education, free college tuition, and free reparations, and free housing, and free kickbacks, and free transportation, and free. You are going to fucking destroy this entire country if that's what you're looking for. Because while it sounds awesome, free this, free that, bigger this, more bureaucracy, more oversight, more that, you will be fucking run over by it. It will destroy this country. I don't know who's attracted to you. And hey, cowards who want everything for free, fuck off.
Well, and
it's killing you. Sorry.
Oversight by people who don't do the jobs that they're overseeing. Oversight by people who don't know how to make it better, smoother, more efficient.
Dr. Drew could fill up the Grand Canyon with all the fucking pencil pushing lawyers and bureaucrats who are telling him how to do his job and what he can't do and what he can do. I'm just saying, people, I don't know why you want to vote in more of this. You want more promises that never works. You want more. Mm. You want more of this. I can get you free. I can do that. We need more. You need a bigger government to give out all this stuff and to maintain all this stuff. Ugh. It's so fucking sad, all this soft, entitled sacks of shit that's fucking ruining everything.
Someone should write a book about that.
Yes. If thank only. God. We just did the cover shoot, by the way. Phil's bouncing around here. In
costume?
Yes. Phil's in his service. Did you take any pictures of Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a few. We can give them to Max Zapata. All right. Good. Be careful what you ask for. It never fucking works out.
You know what's ironic about everything you just said when you said, who wants this? My first thought was after you said that, anyone who's not using those services is voting for it.
Right.
You'd think it's the other way around, but it's not.
Right. Yes. I fucking agree. And this whole sort of like vote for a vote, it drives me nuts. Like, my mom's vote's going to cancel my vote out. She doesn't fucking leave the house. She never owned a business. She doesn't pay taxes. Why should we have the same fucking vote? Like, of course. And of course, she wants the fucking Meals on Wheels to swing by her pad and drop off some government cheese. Of course, that's what she wants. She wants more of it. It hobbles people. It destroys their life. It's the worst ever. All right. Mike, any other thoughts, observations?
Uplifting thoughts.
Yeah, I really turned this, didn't I? Well, clarifying, Brian, not in Lowell, Massachusetts, Burlington, Massachusetts. I'm giving a plug.
Moving on up.
MC-NE.com, MenCenterNewEngland.com. That is my practice.
And Mike is overqualified for your problems.
10,000 hours of schooling.
It says it on his card. Your problems ain't shit to me.
I've dealt with Adam Carolla. That's what it says.
Dealt with Adam Carolla. Oh,
patient
please.
Zero.
Mike has got a picture of Phil with his emotional support vest on, just sleeping.
He is supporting the carpet.
Phil actually nipped Mike and drew blood as
yeah, he
well.
He took a chunk out of me.
What?
Mike was the biscuit wrangler. We had to get Phil
like
up on my lap. We're doing this whole, you know, stuck in an airplane with Phil on top of me. Bit and Phil wasn't happy about laying on top of everyone for prolonged periods of time, so Mike was in charge of the biscuits. And the thing about Phil is he'll chomp you if you put your fingers out on it.
Yeah.
He is not nice about it. He's super laid back, super easy, and super everything, but not when it comes to food.
I get it.
Since I'm in here, should we announce what the title of the book is? I don't know if we've formally announced it yet. There's no pre-order link up yet, but
I don't know. I don't know the name. I don't know the name.
Should
of,
you announce
that? I don't know I know the idea of the name. I don't know the exact wording of it.
I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, A Guide to Our All Woke, No Joke Culture.
There you go.
Awesome.
With Mike Lynch doing the writing. We're almost done with the book. I think we'll be done with the manuscript when?
Due December 15th, we are about 48,000 words in. We got about two more chapters left to write.
I tell everyone all the time, please take your it's an example I always use. Which
Job
is,
and shove it.
You could eat a Pontiac if you took it, ground it down, and sprinkled it over your cereal every day. And in 2 years, you will have ingested an entire automobile. And it's doable. Like Mike and I just breaking off pieces here and there, going to be in the car, going to come down and knock out a few things. I'm on my rowing machine. Mike's sitting on the ground on this computer on his lap.
God, I'd love to see that montage.
Reading chapters.
You in various situations of transport.
He's up late. I'm driving home from the comedy store. You take it and you break it off into pieces. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you're heading it. You know, 50,000 words. I mean, how many different times did you work on this book? I think people...
Three times, fool!
People make this mistake where they go, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to write myself a book. And it's like, no, you're not.
He's trying to quit cold turkey. So it's not going to work.
Right. Just break it off into pieces.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of marathon sessions when I knew you guys were going on the cruise and I wanted to have, you know, a couple chapters for you to review while you were on the cruise. And then it was... You know,
it's part of the process that you factor that into the steps.
Right. And then there were shorter versions where we had 20 minutes on the phone and we, you know, focused on one short bit.
Yeah. Mike and I, funny comically, are both trying to stay on the keto diet. And when August shows up at a club, he orders two of everything to be delivered to the room. And then he's got the fish tacos.
It's all
he's got
breaded,
the pizza.
It's all
chicken tenders.
He's got the chicken tenders. He's got the Mediterranean plate, and I just stare at it, and then it's double torture for me because A, I want it, but I'm not going to have it, but B, he's not going to eat it all, so it's just going to get busted. The Mediterranean plate's going to get a finger full of hummus out of it, and I'm like, you can't throw that away, so now he just orders. He actually had a serving tray where they went lower deck. They went upper and lower. They wheeled in. There wasn't enough room on
like
the top for what he had ordered back there. Quesadillas stuffed with chicken. I was yelling at Sonny to eat it all. Sonny got, I think he went out to the club. I think they booted him this time.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him sell the merch.
It's a weird, and as Mike said, like, think about all our insane rules. Like, I was just talking about the Modelo beer commercial where they sit down and they all hoist a beer and they're able to show the guys putting out wildfires and stuff, but they can't show them drink a beer. And it's like, oh, Sonny can't be in the club. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. It's a restaurant with a bar. Every single restaurant I take Sonny to has a full bar. Yeah. What's the fucking difference between that bar and this bar? It's a place where people go to eat. Yeah. And if you're old enough, you can order a cocktail. But when I go out to a restaurant, a steakhouse with Sonny, I order a cocktail. He orders a Sprite. What's so different about this place?
It's arbitrary.
This Modelo one is funny. I told Max Pat to find it because it's all this weird culture bullshit. You know, it's like he's the first Hispanic to ride a recumbent bike in Phoenix. You know, and they did all this fucking bullshit. All this talk that we're doing about like inclusiveness and inclusiveness. All we're doing is picking out everyone's ethnicity and focusing on it, which is not the inclusive part. But he's the first Irish guy, and Irishmen used to be discriminated against. Sorry, you can play it, Max Pat. It made me laugh. There's a part ago, that makes me
Christopher
laugh.
Mullen's grandparents came here from Ireland to build a better life. All they ever hoped for was to be given a fighting chance.
No Irish need apply.
A chance that forged a path to where he stands today.
He's a third generation
Irish story, which is why Modelo is partnering with the International
Rescue
Committee.
Hires a young Hispanic girl to come in.
Giving a fighting chance to refugees, immigrants,
gonna help her out.
Americans in
looks
need.
Like her bio checks.
It doesn't matter where we come from.
Now he's going to do something super inappropriate. He's going to have a beer.
His own bar.
The white boss man is going to, you really want that job, baby?
Show me a few of these.
Now, they can't show him sip the beer, but they can
show
imply that they're drinking beer with a new or possibly new employee. I don't think... I think the optics of the middle-aged white guy and the young Hispanic chick going,
in the job interview.
You want this job?
Yeah, me too.
Drink up. It's almost 2 in the afternoon. But for some reason, they can't take a sip off it.
I need you to shotgun that beer. But it's a bottle.
Shotgun it.
Was that Jeff Bridges? That sounded like Jeff Bridges, the voiceover.
Oh, now something for Max Pat to look at. It drives me nuts because all they do is... If you show guys riding a mountain bike and then they all get to the top of the mountain and then they crack a Michelob Ultra, why can't they take a sip of it? What is this rule? What year is it?
Oh.
Who made this rule?
In your litany of we do it to ourselves?
Yes.
You know what I mean? This is a self-imposed rule.
Yes.
This used to be like a network standard, and now that there's cable, the networks are like, this is what we do.
Yeah,
right.
This
tradition.
Is self-imposed.
All right, Mike, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mike's a very even, beautiful
guy. Give that website.
MC-NE.com.
Thanks for all you do, Mike. I know you're an unsung hero of this show, and we really appreciate you.
Well, I'm a hero of many kinds. Mostly unsung.
It's so much easier to write a book when you have some laps with somebody.
Yes, of course. And
I have laughs with Mike. It's just so much easier. In the at a funny little lying story. I don't lie. My policy is I don't do boastful lying, but I will lie to save someone's feelings. Oh,
get
this tastes
delicious.
Yes, or your haircut looks so good, you know, or whatever. I always
Why looking Brian?
Do those kind of lies all the time. And we did Adam Carolla's Unprepared at the Sirius XM studio out here.
The very intimate show.
Yeah, it was intimate, but it's a fun show, and it's like a cool space they have there, and they have the director of entertainment or live events or whatever, and me, Mike, and Max Pat are all standing there at the end, and he goes, he looks at me and he goes, so do you have Sirius XM? And I go, oh, for sure. Yeah,
it's
I love it.
Program
so I use it in my commute. At Stern, at Raw Dog. I love Yacht Rock. I love Yacht Rock.
I don't think my car has anything else.
And he goes, oh, okay. And then he points at Mike and he goes, Mike, you have Sirius XM? And he goes, nope. And then he goes, hey, Chris, you have Sirius XM? And he goes, nope. And he goes, okay, I'll get you guys set up with a subscription. And
yes,
then he leaves.
I knew
and
it.
And I'm like, I don't have Sirius XM.
Mine ended yesterday.
So
Michael's
got
a change in the middle. Like, oh, hold on. I think it just expired. What's the date?
Oh, Sirius XM?
Wait a minute, is it past midnight, East Coast? Because I know it's going to expire soon.
Oh,
also,
good.
I do love Mike and Chris, because I was the guy when he went, do you have Sirius? We're standing under a Sirius XM sign, like, do you have Sirius? Oh, of course I do. Then he's like, Mike, do you? Nope. Max Pattis said nope, too. Now, I was lying because we're standing in the Sirius XM headquarters. You understand?
Yeah.
But you said no, too.
No, this wasn't me. I think it was Nate.
Oh, it was Nate. It was Nate. Me and Nate. Yeah. Oh, I knew it was another short word. I mean,
throw another Trump, short Trump. Bus.
Yeah, it was Nate. It was Nate and me and Mike. And they're both very on brand to say nope to the Sirius XM guy under the Sirius XM sign in the Sirius XM building.
And they were rewarded handsomely.
They didn't pause. And they didn't do any, I'm leasing a car and it comes free for 3 months and I just got to re-up now. Yep. There's nothing. Just like, nope. That was both. That was both their brands. And my brand is, love
absolutely.
It. That's so enjoyable. And then he set them both up and then he left. And now I don't know what to do.
Yeah. No good deed goes unpunished.
I think Nate should have to give me his subscription.
You know what you should have done or you maybe still can do? I need it from my wife's car.
Oh,
the Jag with the custom rims and the cat-back exhaust.
She likes to ride in style.
they're playing some Unprepared on Raw Dog now. Gene, I saw that you took the picture of it and showed it to me and tweeted it to me. So thank you for that.
That's great. It was on Thanksgiving.
All right. Let's see. Let me hit Tipsy Elves here. No holiday parties complete without the ultra festive holiday clothing. Tipsy Elves. It's your one-stop shop for one-of-a-kind Christmas sweaters, dresses, family pajamas, leggings, and onesies. I got my sweater. I will don it proudly this Christmas. Brian's this way. I think Christy's this way. I think Gina's this way, too, right? Like you go festive or you go home, right?
I may have hit up Matt Fondelier for a Tipsy Elf sweater. Hey, get me one of those.
They have funny designs. They have interactive sweaters from drinking game sweaters to tacky tinsel and light sweaters. Women's and men's now in plus sizes. Say no thank you to the boring this year. Let's get going with Tipsy Elves. You try one of their hilarious holiday designs at tipsyelves.com/M. Now you get 20% off your entire order. That's tipsyelves.com/M. You get 20% off your order. Oh, sunny observation, Lynch. Oh, you have your.
I have it.
You
yeah,
found your paperwork.
So they were 16 months old at the time.
Wow!
And I had to change their names for confidentiality. So Natalie is Natalia, obviously.
This is a HIPAA violation, right here. I'm sure of it.
Go ahead.
Dad then showed me another of Natalie's tricks. He would hold her close to his chest by the legs. Olga would count uno, dos, tres, and Natalie would fall back like a bungee jumper going backward off a bridge. She giggled as he held her upside down. When Dad attempted this with Tony, he refused, but then hesitantly leaned and gripped his father's shirt for safety.
Yeah.
There it is.
Right. I don't...
Dad observed that Tony was less adventurous and more attached than Natalie.
Yes.
This is like a 7-Up situation.
I know, and it's just there's this fear gene, and some people have it, and some people don't, and I don't know where it comes from. I had the thrill seeker gene when I was a kid. Sonny has nothing close to a thrill seeking gene. I don't know why the son of the thrill seeker doesn't have the thrill seeking gene. Does not. She has much more of it than he does. And there's nothing that TV or society or nurture did to foster it. Or to extinguish it. It's just there.
Yeah, it couldn't have at 16 months old anyway.
Right. It's just there. Yeah. That's it. And, we're always talking. It's why we do that thing all the time. It's like, you've got to read to your kids. You've got to talk to your kids. You have to expose them. Or they could just be who they are and how they are. Now, good parents intact, family intact, that's good. Beyond that, they are who they are. And their interests are their interests. Oh, you have Speed Racer?
Yeah, so this episode is called The Car Hater.
They dedicated one to Chris Carolla. Huh?
What's coming down the track?
Man on a horse.
It's Papa.
Papa.
Bill Shatner.
Janine, what did I say? Didn't I forbid you to go near any more cars? You did.
Now wait just a minute.
He's gonna whip.
Don't interfere again.
He's gonna whip his daughter.
Come out to the track. It's my fault that she's here.
You're really a professional racer, liar.
That's my mom.
Get away.
You want me to watch your doc about Paul Newman?
That's a riding crop. She's in a tuxedo.
You to get out of the way.
He rides his horse over everybody. I like he's charging the cars. This is my mom, the car hater.
Yeah, so his son died in a car accident years ago, so he's made it his life's mission to rid the world of cars.
Good luck.
In a bow tie.
In a smoking jacket with a bow tie and a bullwhip. That's awesome.
A riding crop.
Wow.
I'm glad these are as I remember them, because I saw these things when I was 9.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you described.
I never saw them again in syndication. But yeah, this guy was angry. And I do think that my mom should get some residual checks when they air this one.
Inspiration.
What's it called? Angry Cars?
The Car Hater.
The Car Hater. There she is.
Did he learn a valuable lesson at the end? Or did they not have to do that back then?
I don't think anyone learned any lessons in Speed Racer.
You better.
Probably rode his horse off a cliff or something.
Yeah. All right. Shall we take a break? We'll come back with Mr. Skin right after this.
Get your tickets now for Adam Carolla is Unprepared for the Holidays. December 7th at Virginia Street Brewhouse in Reno. December 13th and 14th in Oxnard at Levity Live. In Milwaukee at the Pabst Theater on January 24th. And at Chicago's Park West on January 25th. Adam Carolla is Unprepared for the Holidays. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam, I was just driving on the highway and I was thinking about porn. And then I was thinking about you. And then I was thinking about great names in porn history and what your favorites would be. Mine for woman is Kara Lott. I think that's a pretty good pun. And then for men, it's definitely Dick Rambone. I'd love to know what yours are.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Well, there was a Dick Rambone. It's kind of a Sacha Baron Cohen looking Middle Eastern swarthy dude who was hot in the 80s. And
I gotta look him up.
There's a black guy. Well, there's a couple I like.
Oh.
We're looking at Dick Rambone. There was a guy I liked, a black guy named F.M. Bradley. And I was like, F.M. Bradley? Like, what is that? Field Marshal Bradley.
Okay.
Bradley fighting vehicle, World War II. Like, the guy has half tracks named after him. I think it was a brother who went after Field Marshal Bradley. Was English, I think, fought in the English army, probably went up against Rommel in the African campaign or something like that. You got to figure out Field Marshal Bradley. But look, I love a brother who takes the name of Field Marshal Bradley.
That's good.
I remember also with F.M. Bradley, there was a picture. I don't know. I was looking at a porno magazine once, and they had like weird outtakes or joke pictures or something like in the back. And it's like it said, why you shouldn't let them. The caption said, why you shouldn't let them shoot a porno at your house. And it was a candid picture of him with a sort of back turn. It looked like. You know the feet. You know that thing where, like, you're trying to take a piss by the side of the road, and you kind of got your back turned, and you're looking over your shoulder
you're
a little bit,
concaving your
yeah,
your chest.
Like you're kind of like, who's going to see us? It's a picture. F.M. Bradley's got his huge dong out, and he's wiping it on the curtains. He's like, I gotta get this jizz off my dog, and I don't have a moist towelette. He's like just wiping it on. He's like looking over his shoulder at some like decent house in Sherman Oaks or something. And it's like, yeah, that is why. That's a good. Perfect caption for what F.M. Bradley is up to. I also like the great Buffy Davis, because she's named after Buffy Davis, who was the oldest sister in Family Affair. Oh, no, the sister. She was Buffy and Jody. That's right. That's right. Buffy and Jody. So she named herself after...
Can you do that? Well, I guess it's a character. It's
an
not her
actress
name.
That like OD'd or something oh, when fun. She was 17.
That's great.
There was a male porn star in the 90s by the name of, what I thought until about 30 seconds ago, Rocco Stiff Ready, but it was Rocco Stiff Ready. Oh, wait, he won enough missed opportunities. Yeah. Stiff Ready.
I know.
An Italian man.
Hey, we're talking about him, aren't we?
It's a fake name anyway. Just go with Stiff Ready.
Yeah. You know how you can, they say like, oh, you just come up with the name of your, you know, your first pet and then the street you lived on.
Right.
My boyfriend in college, his fake porn name would have been Buster Jewel.
Wow.
How good is that?
I had a cat named Kitty and I lived on Houston Street. So Kitty Houston is strong. Yeah. Buffy Davis, yeah, Buffy and Jody, yeah. The actress, like, killed herself or OD'd or something. So, but her name lives on. And then there was Tracy Lords liked Jack Lord from Hawaii Five-0.
Okay.
It's a deep, deep cut.
Is that
nice homage.
Yeah. Let's see. But I guess you get to do that. You get to just sit around and go, hey, what do you like? Like,
reinvent yourself.
I'm Dotson Newman. Good to meet you. I have a medium-sized wang. Like, I guess you just pick stuff you like and put them together.
Yeah.
Mr. Skin?
Hey, Adam. Hey, Brian. Hey, Gina. How you guys doing?
Hi.
Good.
Yeah, oh, by the way, that was Anissa Jones you were thinking of, who died at 18 years old, Buffy.
Oh, Buffy. Yeah, you got some nude shots of her when she was 14 that you're putting up on the website.
She never lived to do a nude scene, nor did Kathy Garber, who played Sissy, the older sister, or Mr. French. She never got naked either.
Sebastian Cabot.
Missed opportunities.
God. I miss those sitcoms where there's this super stuffy English or French butler who lived with you. It was like, good day.
Mr. Belvedere.
Yes, the whole thing is like, he's wearing like a top hat and tails and like making eggs in the morning on a weekday. Like, boy, man.
Not a real thing.
Hey, Mr. Skin, do you have favorite porn star names? I know we're putting you on the spot. But
I got to tell you, its movie names are cool, too. Those are really funny. I remember I saw an ad once for a gay porn movie in the 90s called Bulging Jockstraps. I thought that was a pretty funny name for a movie. So, but I was listening to your guys' names, and I like that idea of just naming yours. And your dog or something and coming up with a name.
Was Field Marshal Max Patton, was Field Marshal Bradley,
oh, no, did,
he, did he fight the Desert Fox, Rommel, in World War II? Yeah. I'm pretty sure he did, and God bless FM Bradley. And by the way, the porn stars wouldn't do that today, name themselves after a famous fighting general or marshal. Mr. Skin.
Natasha Schwarzkopf.
Yeah. It would never happen. Let's talk about, you can check out the website, MrSkin.com, by the way, and they have 2019's top 10 list. What is, who's on the top 10 list? Give me some names I might recognize.
Well, my list is really, as you know, because I've talked to you about this a lot, is so many damn shows with nudity now that, I mean, literally like 145 different television shows today with nudity, not to mention all the movies. So to put a top 10 list together is pretty difficult, not from the standpoint of there's not enough. It's almost that there's too much and you have to try to narrow it down. But for instance, that someone that's in my top 10 nude scenes of 2019, which, by the way, you could see for free at MrSkin.com today, is... number 10 is, a lot of your listeners would know Maisie Williams, who played Arya Stark in Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she did. What was happening, she was playing on, in real life she's 22, but she was playing an 18-year-old in this last season, and she was heading into the ultimate battle to save the world, and she wanted to experience sex before she went to war. So she hooked up with Gendry and stripped. And it was kind of shocking to see her, especially if you've been watching the show since, what, 2011?
When she was 12.
Well, let me...
Yeah, I know. It's really weird, but she's 22, you know, but it was pretty weird. But I always wish Sophie Turner, Sansa, would have done a nude scene on the show, but This was a big deal when Maisie Williams got
here. Hold on a second. We got that thing where it's coming in and out. It's on our end, Dawson. I know. I've been in the studio and I've heard it enough where they go, it's on their end, but it's always on our end. And
let's try this.
Used to do it
Mr.
all the
Skin,
time.
Do me a favor and just hold your phone in the same place and just keep talking into it.
It happens to me all the time.
There is no gate. The gate is disengaged.
I know. No one can figure it out. Hey, Mr. Skin.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Are you holding a phone? Or are you on a headpiece? What are you doing?
I'm on a headpiece. I could hold it if it helps.
Well, it's sounding perfect now. Whatever you're doing now,
it'll modulate again. Anyway, Omar Bradley, World War II hero, 5-star general, fought for us, right? And fought in the Desert Campaign or whatever. And I think we have you've arrived when you have a class of aircraft carrier named after you, like Nimitz class or submarine or something like that. Whenever you get a Jeep or half track, you have a piece of fighting vehicle named after you. You've killed some krauts. I'll tell you that right now. So, Mr. Skin, sorry. Let me ask a philosophical question of you, and I'll include Gina and Brian in this as well. I feel like nudity is one of those things. It's sort of like having kids and not being married. People used to look down their nose at it. It was like, oh, they're not married. They're living in sin. They're living together. They're not. And it was a source of embarrassment. Yeah. It could be for the couple or the parents would be like, is your daughter living with that guy and they're not married and now she's pregnant and whatever it is. And now it's pretty ubiquitous. Mm. Nobody judges really anymore. I don't think it's something you strive for. Like, I'd like to live with a person and not be married and have offspring with them. But it's like, we don't judge. Yeah. And the more we don't judge, sort of the more it goes on.
We've absorbed it as a society.
And I think sort of nude scenes are kind of that, right?
There was a time in Michigan, you can certainly speak to this because your website was sort of dedicated to this, where if an actress did a nude scene, it was perhaps scandalous or it was something early in their career they tried to bury, or perhaps they were considered a serious actress if they weren't like European or something.
Well,
or
it was, and Adam would know this too, like actresses in the 70s, for instance, would do it. Let's take Linda Carter, Wonder Woman.
Oh.
She did this horrible movie in 1976 called Bobby Joe and the Outlaw, where she
got to keep that phone by your mouth. I know you keep moving it away from your mouth and moving it back toward your mouth.
Could be turning his head.
No.
Yeah. All right, I'm going right to the headset. I'm going right to the phone line, so I don't want you.
I've been here when it's done this 2,000 times, and it's something that's going on. It's not the person pulling. It sounds like they're the effect is they're getting closer and further from the phone, but that's the effect. That's not what's happening.
There is zero processing going through the phone on this.
I know. You talk to Gary, and he'll tell you the 1,000 times it's happened. Sorry, Mr. Skin.
Yeah, no problem. I'm on the landline now. No problem. So I was talking about Linda Carter. So when she did this movie, Bobby Joe and the Outlaw, she's thinking, hey, it'll show up at a drive-in theater for a week, and no one will ever see this nude scene again. And then all of a sudden, video happened in the 80s and cable television, and then the internet, and now MrSkin.com in 1999, and now that scene will live in skinfamy forever. So back in the day, actresses did nude scenes and figured, that's it. No, I just want to get into the movies, and no one will ever see this again. But it's just a different time now.
But
if you do a nude scene, it's all over.
I have a different, and I also have a second layer to my philosophical nude scene question, which is how many women come back, if they even had to come back, and sort of own it later on in life? Like, hey, that's you at the height of your powers. I mean, that's you at 24. You're magnificent. You're 67 now, and the titties don't look quite as perky as they were. But there's full color footage of you looking pretty damn good. Like, even
Ms. Cates?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's something, there must be something even enjoyable, like, instead of like, oh, I regret doing that and now it's on the internet, more like, yeah, that's me looking my best in, 1974. I mean, I would imagine, like, even if you cross into porn, there still has to be women going, God damn, I looked hot when that FM Bradley was plowing me.
Oh, yeah. A lot of women, a lot of actresses have looked back and said, you're right. I'm glad I did that nude scene when I was in my 20s, because now I'm in my 50s and I just can't do it. And that's very common. I hear that all the time in interviews with actresses.
The most searched, I'm looking at my piece of paper here for the nude scenes in 2013, Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum. And in
since 2013 at our website.
Since, right, and most searched in 2019, sorry, is Brie Larson and Nick Jonas.
Yeah, well, that's for Mr. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brie Larson's become a superhero now, and that's why she's been the most searched this year, because of the Captain Marvel thing, and it's crazy. I tell you, these movies, these PG movies, PG-13 movies, the guys become so infatuated with the women in those comic book movies or whatever, that the first thing they do is come to our website and search them to see if they've ever been naked.
It's like nerd on jizz crime. Mr. Skin, you can go to the website, MrSkin.com, and check out 2019's top 10 on MrSkin.com. And read his book, too. I wrote the foreword for it. Throw it in the...
Yeah, and Adam, I should, if you give me 10 seconds, you're the only place I go on that I could actually talk about my sponsor without them hanging the phone up. But I actually, this top 10 list, when you go to our website, you'll see Mail Excel, which is this great online company that is for guys with ED, so that they can order discreetly online and have it delivered directly to your door. So I appreciate you letting me mention them, because on terrestrial radio, they don't like to talk about making hard easy, if you know what I mean. So
we'll cut that out.
Thanks, Mr. Skin. Yeah, terrestrial radio. Well, there's a lot of self-imposed rules as well.
And there's a lot of there's probably when he does that. Okay.
There's voting has begun for 2019's women most disgusted to have sex with me.
Oh, you updated the list?
You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and submit your candidate. Yeah.
Is AOC going to defend her crown?
AOC's up top from last year. Alyssa Milano, Lynette Carolla, Gwyneth Paltrow, Rachel Maddow, Maxine Waters. Well, that's a two-way street, baby. I'll send FM Bradley. He'd be more age-appropriate for you. Joy Behar.
Is he alive?
Is FM Bradley. Come on, Max Pata.
Do your job.
FM Bradley, the porn star, still alive. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Christine Blasey Ford.
Last year. Ooh, you know who we could replace her with? Mm. With some surprises on this list, but it was a year ago and we're not really in the election cycle. Liz Warren.
Mm.
Elizabeth Warren could be on the list this year.
She would never stop throwing up. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Inspired choice at number 21, Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. You did get a fella.
You know who we could replace with him?
Mm.
Pete Buttigieg.
Pete Buttigieg
may be disgusted.
Mayor Pete. All right. FM Bradley, 65 years young.
Yeah. God bless him.
Yeah, not a ton about him on the internet these days.
Voting ends this Friday at noon, so let's get out there and vote early and vote often. I want to update. I feel like Ashley Judd at 18 is due to drop a couple of notches.
Gavin Newsom's wife.
Ann Coulter may drop a little. Kamala Harris may be bumped up a couple of notches. Yeah. I mean, we're going to shuffle the deck, people. Anne Hathaway, I'd like her to crack the top 10. She's sitting at 11 right now.
Yeah.
She
right
can
there.
Smell it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think she's done a lot
she'd
of
horrified.
Important
she'd,
work.
She can smell your non-bathed musk.
Yes.
I hate to crap on your point, but I have to get Dawson's back on this one. As soon as Mr. Skin switched from the headset to the handrest, it was all good.
Well, not the first time he switched. It happened again. He switched to something. He said, "I'll do something," or "I'll hold it in my hand," or something.
Brian's right. I'm right.
No.
I think pretty.
Go get Gary in here now.
I'm not discounting that it has happened before. I'm saying as soon as when he made the switch, it was perfect the entire way through, and no phasing.
Yeah, but it was only for the next 3 minutes. What?
Yeah, but it still should have been continuing to come.
No, it's intermittent. It happens and then it doesn't happen. That's why we can't fix it on the board. It happens and then it doesn't happen. That's how this intermittent thing. That's why we can't solve it.
We solved it.
It's okay to admit you're wrong sometimes.
Got on the right.
Please trust me that I've been here and heard that exact same thing 100 times when Gary was sitting behind the board, and I'm trying to talk to Garriga somewhere, and it's been on our end. That's what I'm telling you. I'm not making it up. I
understand.
It sounds like he's pulling it away from his. Mr. Skin's done 2,000 radio interviews. He's not pulling his face away from the thing he's talking into.
I understand that.
Yes.
What it seems to have been, though, is maybe his headset was out of batteries, or whatever thing he was using was not transmitting a strong signal. When he got off of it, it worked.
For a short period of time, if we'd stayed with it, I suspect it would have come back, because that's how it works. It comes and it goes. We can't figure it out. There's nothing on the board. But I've had this conversation many times, and I'm wearing headphones, and this sounds exactly like what it is. So maybe it was on his end. I doubt it, because it's been on our end, and I've experienced it many times. And all right. Anyway, so who cares? Why do I got to make Dawson right? Jesus Christ.
Call him.
No, it sounds like he's pulling it away and bringing it to his mouth. I don't think that's what's happening, because I don't think he would do that. And I've experienced that when nobody was doing it. The exact same phenomenon.
A lot of times when you're on those earpiece headsets, you can turn you can not talk into the thing. It happens.
Earpiece
headsets aren't as reliable as holding on to a telephone.
I agree with that premise. I don't agree that that's what created that phenomenon, since I've heard it so many times on this goddamn show. But anyway. All right. We got Eric Roberts.
All right.
Being creepy. Tell me if there's anyone creepier than Eric Roberts. Yeah. We got Eric Roberts from the early 90s. We don't say being creeper. He's telling Sharon Stone he gets what he wants. Like, what's he telling her here?
You'll see. You'll
hear.
Okay.
All right.
Is there something you want?
The specialist.
What I want, I take. Champagne.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome to our bank. I've never seen you before.
I used to live here when I was a little girl.
A lot's happened since you've been gone.
Like what?
Like me.
Insecurity is a terrible thing.
It would be. I'd like to dance.
What's wrong with keeping the conversation going?
Later. Right now, I'm taking what I want.
Yeah.
You look...
Anyone ever had that exchange in real life? Gina, would
when
that work
I see
on you?
I like. I take it.
Never, not once. The only way it would work on me is because I would feel so sorry for that dude for taking that big swing that I would have to comply just not to make him feel bad. But it wouldn't be because I was so hypnotized by his charisma.
I also like the I take what I want speech, and I also like the lots changed speech. Like, you left and then you came back and lot has changed around here.
Yeah.
Meaning me.
And that was a very schoolyard exchange when she was like, you know, what did she say about self-confidence? He's like, yeah, would be.
Yeah,
if it pertained to me.
If
I'm rubber, you're glue.
All right, let's hit Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep the metal parts from rubbing and the friction. And three times,
fool!
Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is Castrol Edge, formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. It is Castrol Edge. All right, we will take ourselves a little break. We shall come back and do the news right after this.